chapter 10. And I love you. I want you to know I love my church. I love my people that are my flock. That, you know, sometimes you preach to a lot of people, but you have one flock, amen, that you're responsible for their spiritual welfare and nurturing from on a daily basis. And I appreciate you. Sister Loretta was right about, our burden. And our purpose here, it's, we don't really, I don't mind gleaning folks from false religions and things, you know, that's God's will, but, you know, we really do need a revival of new converts, don't we? And I know now that won't necessarily come in a series of meetings. That, you know, just they call it an extended meeting. That's a good chance for it. But really what happens there is in a revival, people usually invite somebody and people know that you're having church and the odds are a little better in your favor of having somebody drop in during a revival. That's why folks get, but a revival is really just the coming alive of the church and getting a burden and a vision. And really, every day of our life, we really ought to have a burden to win somebody to the lost every day of our life. Amen. Now I need to repeat that. Did y'all get it? I said, every day of our life, we ought to have a burden to win somebody to the lost, to the Lord. Amen. Now, what happens if we don't do that? What happens? Well, in time, we won't have anybody coming to church here. You say, well, I'll be here. You won't be here forever. How you know? Well, I just know. Amen. I can't think of anybody I'd like to see go to hell. Can you? And I think about it. I can't. Now, there's a few folks I think ought to be locked up somewhere, but not in hell. I know they're going, but I'd sure like to win somebody to the Lord, wouldn't you? All right, enough of that. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 10, and then I want you to go to Isaiah 61, and then we're going to read some more. I believe it's in 1 John over there. I want to read. You'll see why I won't. I may not even preach. I may just read this. I'm going to tell you. I don't know if we understand just how dependent we are on the Spirit of the Lord. You take the Spirit of God out of us and away from us, and we're pitiful.
Yeah, we are.
And I'm not talking about just the shouting. And a lot of times people think that shouting and speaking in tongues is the only demonstration of the Spirit, but it absolutely is not. It is not. If it is, Paul said, I come not to you with enticing words of men's wisdom, but I come to you in a demonstration of the power and the Spirit of God. Now, brother, we have got to have that in this hour. That's what I'm going to preach about. I'm going to preach on the anointing tonight. The anointing of the Spirit. Amen. And I know that I know it's bigger than me, and the more I think about it, the bigger it gets. Praise God. And I want you to look what it says right here. The Assyrians were coming against Israel, and God told them just what he was going to do for them. And I'm going to point out of verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed. How many has heard this verse quoted a lot of times, and it says it's the anointing that breaketh the yoke? But that's not what it said. It said then that the anointing, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Amen. And his yoke from off his neck, and his yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Amen. I want you to look at that with me just a minute. Now go to Isaiah 61 and let's read. I believe that's where I want to go. Dear Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now I want you to notice the significance here. Amen. Do you remember when David was anointed by Samuel to be king? He poured the oil on him. What did the Bible say about David? Did anybody remember what it said? After the anointing, oil was upon his head. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord was upon David from that day forward. Hallelujah. Now, I want to ask you something here tonight. Does that make any difference? I feel him right now. Sweet Lamb of God, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Now I ain't saying that trying to convince you. I'm giving you some information. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. I want to ask you, does, amen, the Spirit of God resting upon us make any difference? It makes all the difference. And I want to tell you right now, that's why I feel like preaching our little church tonight. I won't preach long and weary you. I know Sunday's a hard day for you, a good day of rest. You're about half dead, amen, from driving and going. But I want to tell you, we need this anointing. Amen. Without the anointing. And when you talk about the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God, I want you to understand with me tonight. Amen. There is a baptism of the Spirit with the speaking in tongues and as God gives the utterance. But brother, you have got to have the Spirit of God before you can ever get the baptism of the Spirit. Now, how many understands that? You've got to be saved. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. And now, when I talk about the Spirit tonight, I want us to get our minds upon an anointing of the Spirit. Amen. That every last one of us in this house need tonight. Amen. Because we cannot do, amen, what we ought to do without the spiritual anointing of God. Can you say amen? Now, when God ordained this in the beginning, amen. Let me read. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Now, how many's ever heard that verse before? How many Bible readers and studiers know where that verse was clarified at? Does anybody know where the commentary was given on that verse in the New Testament? It was when Jesus came in to the temple, and he stood up to read. Woo! You feel that? Y'all ain't feeling this yet. Maybe I just been reading it for the last 2 weeks. It's got on me. Hallelujah. But when Jesus took the Bible and they handed him the book and he stood up in the synagogue, which was his custom, to read the word of the Lord. He read from Isaiah 61 and he said these very things. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now I want you to know right now, amen, that Jesus, amen, was not just merely a mortal man. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. Amen. That Spirit came upon him, amen, as a witness to us, amen, that through the ministry that he was going to be ministering at the will of God by the empowerment of the Spirit. Did I lose you right there? I said he was going to be ministering on this earth the good tidings. Hey, man, I want to tell you something. This lost and dying sin-sick world, hey, man, they need a revival of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, man, listen to me now. That is the only thing that this world has that it can lay a hope on, hey, man, is that they might be saved. Praise God. Hey, man, there's no other way. There's no other hope. Hey, amen. And here it is. Here we are. We're trying to win the lost. Amen. Here at this little church, we're trying to preach the good tidings. Amen. But I tell you what, we're missing. We've got the gospel, but we might be missing the Spirit of God and the anointing. Amen. That God puts upon us to separate us and call us out and sanctify us to be able to get the job done. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I could preach tonight. Thou is the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Are you listening to this? He sent me to bind up the broken. That word anointed, he's the anointing one. Amen. Christ, that's what Christ meant, Brother Zane. Amen. It meant the anointed one, the one that was sent. Amen. Listen now, we have got to have the anointing of the Spirit. Amen. We have got to have the power, amen, of the Spirit working among us. I don't believe in fake. I don't believe in shams. I don't believe in put on. And I want to tell you this, in order to get the real Spirit of God into a life, it takes something. Are you listening to me? Amen. It takes a surrendered heart. It takes a repentant heart. It takes a vessel that's clean, a vessel that's washed in the blood. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I told you this is going to be bigger than I could ever preach. But brother, it is so vital. We have got to have the anointing of the Spirit. We've got to have it to destroy the yoke, to win the battle over our enemy. It's not by power. How many knows that? Amen. That's what God told Zerubbabel when God ordered him. Listen to me. God ordered him. Build the temple. Build it back. Brother, that's a big job. I know it's a big job. Amen. I'm trying to just keep this building from falling in. Amen. It takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of work. Amen. To keep things going. Here's a man that was told to build the temple of God. Y'all ain't listening to me. Amen. And he looked at it and it was a mountain before him. And he said, I can't do it. He's told y'all to do some things. He said, live holy, walk right and talk right, and you said, I can't do it. He said, witness for me, be a light in this world, and salt of the earth, and you said, I can't do it. Amen. But listen, amen. He said, tell Zerubbabel, it's not by power, and it's not by might, but it's by my Spirit. Amen, said the Lord of hosts. We have got to have the Spirit of God. You say, you mean in a human body? Yes, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The Bible said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open unto me, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. It's more than just a covenant. It's a communion. It's more. Amen. Come on now. I said it's more than just a faith. It's a fellowship. Hallelujah. Well, I'm about to feel like preaching here. I wish I could preach to you. I need to preach to you. Thou hast anointed me. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When was the last? Now listen, if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord in your life, you're not saved. Now, boy, that's quiet, isn't it? He that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. Brother, you don't just come and join church. You don't just get you a good Bible and a commentary and learn the doctrines and the theology. That don't get you into heaven. You must, what did Jesus tell Nicodemus? Amen. Y'all out there, what did Jesus tell Nicodemus when he said, how can I enter the kingdom of God? He said, you must be born again. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what, there's a lot of spirits in this world. There's the spirit of the devil. There's the spirit of the world. There's the spirit of the Antichrist. But there's also a real Spirit of God. There's a lot of counterfeits, but there's a one true blue. It's a spirit that can get the job done. Hallelujah. How are we going to overcome this mountain, that King Mountain, to have a holiness church and see our loved ones saved and have a school that is reputable and right and holy? How are we going to have homes that are sanctified and headed in the right direction? It's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. You think I'm going to be able to educate you into eternity? You think I'm going to be able to take the Bible and make people do right? Beat them over the head with it? Make them read it? Hold a gun on them? Make them do it? Will that do it? No, there's going to have to be a new birth. And at the birth of the Spirit, the wind blows where it listeth. Amen. You say, brother, I don't understand this. That's the problem. Amen. We know the ins and outs. We know the creed and the culture. Amen. But we're not being born and touched and led and bought and filled by the Spirit. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled. Not just know about the Spirit, but be filled with the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. Amen. Come on now. We're born of the Spirit, and we're led of the Spirit, and we're filled by the Spirit. I tell you, we need the anointing of the Spirit of God. Amen. The Bible said, quench not. Amen. Grieve not the Holy Ghost. Yield to the Spirit. You know what's wrong with your life here tonight? You know why you don't have power? You're not overcoming. You're not getting the job done. We've lost the Spirit of God. Brother Zane, we're talking, we kid around about being meek, but it is no laughing matter, really. It really ain't. We kid around about it and lighthearted, but we're serious about it. But I'll tell you how we get it done. We'll not get it done because Jerry wants us to get it done. We'll not get it done, amen, because I'm the pastor of the church and I want to get it done. But I'll tell you how we'll get it done. We'll get it done when we are led of the Spirit, when we're sanctified by the Spirit. Where we're influenced and in control of the Spirit of God. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I tell you, we need the anointing of the Spirit of God. Amen. Help me preach a little bit. Amen. Thou hast anointed me to preach the gospel, to bring liberty to the captive, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm into it. I told you, it's deeper water than I can ever get in. We can't even say Jesus is Lord without the Spirit of God. You know why when you come to church, and I'm getting ready to get close to you right here. You know why you come to church and some worship and some never open their mouth? You can't open your mouth. Because you're not filled with the Spirit. You don't feel like saying, I love you, Lord, and praise the Lord. Because I'll tell you, the spirit of the world and the Antichrist and the devil won't let you worship God. Amen. That's the Bible said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Come on now. I'll tell you what we need. And I'm not talking about a charismatic renewal where people, and I'll be honest with you. And y'all know me well enough after 23 years. Amen. I am a little hesitant about anything that seems to be, amen, conjured up. I'm even a little slow with a Jericho march. And y'all stay with me now because I've seen so much stuff. Amen. But if you want to march, I'm with you. And I've done it before. And I trust you. But brother, I've been in a lot of places where folks do odd and weird things that God hasn't led them to do, and people think that's where it's at, but that's not where it's at. Amen. The Bible said there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind and filled the house where they were sitting. They had nothing to do with it other than wait and receive of the power that God had promised. And I'm not talking about just the baptism, but Jesus said it like this. Amen. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Brother, that's the life in the Spirit. I wish I could preach to you. I said, that's the life in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We can't afford just to go in and out of it. I said, we can't afford. We got to live in the Spirit. Does that mean we're going to be shouting and bucking all day long? You know better than that. The Spirit is like the wind, Brother Kenny, that blows. And we understand it in the sense that we've known the wind all our lives. But really to understand it, I don't really understand it. I mean, I do. When I feel it, I say, well, that's the wind blowing. But if somebody said, well, describe the wind. Where'd it come from? What causes it? Where'd it go? Why is it not here right now? When's it coming back? Brother, there's just a lot of mystery about the wind, but I do know this much. You can go by down in the tornado alley and you can see where the wind has been. All they can tell you is I was here and everything was calm. And next thing you know, I tell you God wants to put his spirit on you. Come on now. The Bible said as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Are you listening to me? Y'all seem bored to tears. And I'm telling you what exactly we need. Amen. God does not want us to proceed. Amen. Go to Jerusalem and wait till you're endued with power. Amen. God didn't want anything used in the house of God that hadn't been anointed by the oil. I wish I could preach to you tonight. I tell you, we're missing one main ingredient in our lives, and it's causing us to be defeated. It's causing us to be sad. It's causing us to lose the battle, and it's the anointing of God. You read in the book of Exodus, Leviticus. I want you to listen now. That oil in the Bible was only, the Old Testament was types and shadows. All of the Old Testament dealings with the Levitical priesthood, every bit of that was symbolic. There wasn't anything in there that wasn't. And it all points back to one man, Christ Jesus. The tabernacle with the lid and all of that inside and the cherubims. Christ is our ark. Huh? And the oil. God, you can look it up for yourself. I believe it's in Exodus 29 or 30 or somewhere. But he's got a recipe. So much myrrh, so much sin, whatever. I can't pronounce all them words. And so many pounds. I believe it was 500 shekels of myrrh. And he says, I want you to put this together after the art of the apothecary. Are you listening to me? You say, that's a big word. I know it is. But there was an art of mixing the oil with those herbs. And the purpose of that was he had a special blend that he wanted, amen, an odor, a smell. It was a perfumed oil. Once all of that was cooked and spiced up and put together, there was no other oil like it in the whole land. And God put a little warning label on it. This is not to be duplicated. Are you listening to me? Amen. It's got to be just like this. There is no imitation. If you mix something up that is not that is contrary to the recipe, then I'm going to take you off of the face of the earth. I wish somebody say amen. I tell you, I think our children, amen, have forgot that there is a true blue anointing of God. I love to see these children seek God. And I want you to know what the Bible said. The Bible said, amen, that God, if we would seek him, amen, he would give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. Amen, not a counterfeit, but the real thing. Amen, it is the Spirit of truth. It'll lead you in all truth. If you'll let it lead you, it'll guide you in all truth. It'll tell you how to live. I said, the Spirit's alive. It's not just a little heartburn or a little goosebump up your neck, but it's the third person of the Godhead. It's working in communion, amen, in unity with the Father and the Son, amen, to do a work in you that is to his good pleasure. If you're not what you ought to be, you may not have what you ought to have. Can somebody say amen? How many knows what I'm talking about? Go to 1 John. Let me read you something there. I'm not going to preach much longer. I love you. Boy, I've got a burden for you. I feel like preaching you a revival right today. I'm opening right now. I'm going to close right here in about 5 minutes. We'll have a great revival. Amen. But I feel a revival spirit right here in my soul. But I believe it's in 1 John chapter 2. I want you to look at this. Is that where it's at? What is it, brother? 2 and what? 20. It says, but ye, listen, They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they may manifest they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie, amen, is in the truth. Amen. Now let's move on just a little. I want you to look at this. Verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Brother, here's what we're missing, and I'm going to hurry. But here's what the religious world is missing. They're missing this unction, this anointing. Brother, the Bible says that God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. I'm not talking about a hope-so religion. But I'm talking about the Spirit of God comes down in our spirit and bears witness. Now, how many knows what a witness is? It tells the truth. Am I saved? The Spirit says, yes, you're saved. Come on now. It tells us through the Bible. It tells us through the working of the Spirit. Amen. He says, you need no man teach you. In other words, hey, you see people following gullibly along every whim and doctrine. That poor guy that says he found the whole family of Jesus. Amen. That is nothing but a hoax. Are you listening to me? Amen. Listen, there's an anointing of the Holy Ghost that'll guide you in all truth. Amen. What am I supposed to believe? You believe what the Spirit of God teaches you to believe. Are y'all helping me preach here? Amen. We can't get this job done. We can't even know the truth. We can't live the truth. Amen. Unless the anointing of God, amen, moves upon us. The Bible said the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered, amen, the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord brooded over the earth. And God said, let there be light. God said it, and the Spirit performed it. Amen. And there was light. Can you say amen? What we need at King Mountain, we need to come and be led, amen, and lifted, amen, by the Spirit of God. We need to know the truth. It won't be a debate every time holiness is preached if you've got the Spirit of God in you, for that Spirit will bear witness to the truth. Am I telling you right or not? The Bible said, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Huh? Somebody say amen tonight. How many believes in it? How many believes it's real? How are we going to get this mountain moved? How was David? Amen. And you know, he just took that oil. It was that same oil that God ordained. They anointed. They go in there, Brother Jeff, and he said, I want you to anoint everything in this tent. They anointed the table, they anointed the ark, they anointed the priest, they anointed everything that was done, the anointing. And that oil was only symbolic of the anointing of the Spirit. Amen. You've got to have the Spirit of God to do the work of the Lord. Can you say amen? We can't live for God. We can't live for God one day if that wind of the Spirit doesn't lift us and lead us on. We are trying to get it done without relying on the Spirit of God. And we're not going to get it done. You're trying to raise your young'uns. Amen. Upon, amen, James Dobson. Amen. And all of the psychological trappings. But brother, really, when it comes right down to it, we've got to have the Spirit of God and the anointing of the Lord and the wisdom from heaven. Amen. We sit around, amen, not knowing what to do and how to do it. But if we'd fall in the Spirit of God, the Bible said, pray in the Holy Ghost, building up, amen, your faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's why some of you can't live, amen, for nobody but the devil, because you don't have the Spirit of God in your life. Why not? The Bible said, If your father, knowing how to being evil, knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Now, what's the missing ingredient right there? What's the missing ingredient? The asking. Lord, David prayed like this when he sinned. You know what happened to him? You know what happened to David when he lost his desire to do what he ought to be doing? He was walking around on the rooftop. He got snared by the enemy and he backslid. And the Spirit of God left him. Saul was a wicked king, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and we've heard all about him. But David was a man after God's own heart, and he backslid, and the Spirit of the Lord moved out. And I'm going to tell you something. Praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to preach to my little church here. Brother, you take a house that's void of the Spirit. Amen. The Bible said when that unclean spirit moved out and that house is swept and garnished. If you're just trying to live a good life on what you've been taught and what people expect you to live, you ain't nothing but a vacant house for varmints and vermin. I remember building a house over in Richlands there. I was doing a little remodeling down the street. Brother Jeff has this big, fine brick home being built right up the street, and it was a beauty. Had that Gettysburg brick on there with that black mortar, white columns out front, big two-story split foyer home, right on a main drag in that town. And I remember going by and admiring that house, and I got another job down in there and was down in there for quite a while. And I noticed something happened as they was building that house. I don't know if somebody lost their job or got bankrupt or a D-I-V-O-R-C-E. You know how that goes. I don't know what happened. But they stopped. They had it all done, and it looked like it was totally completed. But nobody ever moved in that house. I went up and down that street and looked at that house. And it was a beautiful house. I even thought about maybe checking, see if they wanted to sell it to somebody, you know, if get a good deal on it. And I didn't stop. But I went down through there and I kept going off and on back around. And there that old house sat. Nobody ever moved in, a brand new house. Wind blew one hard one time, week in. I went back up there on Monday. One of the columns had blown out from under that front porch. Nice, expensive column laying over in the yard. I went over there and I thought somebody ought to fix that. He never did. Shingles started blowing off that house. You know the rest of the story. I'd go back up and down there, and it really didn't take that long. I'd say it wasn't a year till that house looked like it was condemned. They ended up, somebody, old boys, I guess, because there's nobody there, just took their liberty, broke the windows out of it. The roof blowed off, and I guess it got to leaking, and that old porch where that column was, it began to sag. And I'm telling you, it looked like a dump. And nobody, and you know what the problem was? How many knows what the problem was? No inhabitants. Those are only, all those things, Brother Mac, were just natural happenings. The weather, the wind. Just had nobody inside to keep it maintained. And it went to the dogs. You know what's going to happen to your life if you don't keep the Spirit of the Lord in you? Huh? How do you do that, preacher? How much have you prayed this week? And I'll tell you, prayer is more than just getting down and saying, my kind, gracious Heavenly Father, I come to you for these few minutes before I get in the car if the phone don't ring. Now, come on now. And I'm not saying it necessarily has to be a long prayer. Jesus, he taught against, and not against it, but he said it don't do you no good if you stay there a long time just to be seen. That's right. He said just go in that closet and shut the door and let's talk about it. I'm going to tell you something. We've got to maintain the spirit in our life, in our church, or we're not going to get the job done. If every piece of furniture in the house of God had to have that anointing, and if without that anointing, and if that apothecary, if it was not done by the art of the apothecary, then it was not acceptable. I'm telling you, we come trying to have service day in and day out, trying to win the lost, trying to have a good spirit, trying to stay sanctified, amen, without the Spirit of God, then it can't be done. And David said it like this, and I'm done. But David said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That was his cry, Brother Kenny. Sad, 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 sad. I mean, there's people, there's preachers, and I don't say this. It hurts me to say. But there's preachers that I've seen that were just eat up with the Spirit of God, preaching on the anointing, that did not maintain that Spirit in their life. And afterwards, oh God, I went to one preacher I knew way down in Florida. He was such a good young preacher and could sing. And he played one of them flat tops, a bunch of strings on it. Had a bunch of strings on it, 12 strings. Yeah. And he could pick out and sing in a way I never heard nobody in Holiness Church pick a 12 string like that. And he preached. He loved holiness. And that man got away from God. And I went back through that town, and the pastor said, why don't you go see him? Y'all were big buddies when you were here before. And I called him. I went out to his house. There he just didn't even get up. I knocked on the door. Come on in. Door's open. I went in, and there he sat in his short shorts and a beer sitting on the counter. Just a little old bad word slip out. Brother, I cried all the way back to the house. What's wrong? The Spirit of God. That's why David cried, Lord, don't take your Spirit from me. Do you realize what you'd be if God took his Spirit from you? You say, well, I don't feel real spiritual right now. I'm going to tell you, if his Spirit leaves you, you're going to be in pitiful shame. Oh, I think I can make it. You don't know how many people have said that to me, and they didn't make it hardly out of sight. Huh? We can't make it either. We can't make it. Now listen, y'all know I'm not saying we got to come in here and make racket every time, but we've got to have the anointing. I don't care. It don't matter if Brett, if it's little old Brett, my sweet little buddy, up there picking that banjo. He needs the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Huh? That's right. Because that's what makes it. He might be talented enough. He may be the next Earl of, what's his name? Scruggs. Well, he may be better than that. I'm sure he will. But he's going to have the Spirit of God. My old boy back here preaching, and he wants to preach. He feels called of God to preach. But I'm going to tell you something. He's going to have the anointing to preach the gospel. I honestly don't think we can even work in the kitchen out here in God's work without being led of the Spirit. You watch. You go out there and try to help without the Spirit, and it'll probably be the awfulest gossip session or biggest bunch of trouble and the bad spirit ever was in the world. Now, I know you don't like that, but it's the truth. We can't do it. It's God's work, and we can't do it without the Spirit of God. Huh? And the Bible said the yoke was destroyed because of the anointing. And David was anointed, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him from that day forward. I tell you what, it ain't all in shouting, but we need to get back to it. We need to take care of whatever it is and get back to it. And I'm not talking about just feeling overwhelmed with emotions and jumping and running, and that's good. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Your emotions are part of you, and you need to use them for the worship of the Lord. And I know everybody is not as emotional as others. You sure don't have to act like me. Praise God. Aren't you glad? But we're going to have to be filled with His Spirit. God bless you. How many knows I'm telling you right? How many feels a need for it? You been having a little trouble lately? And you know, that oil is so precious. Like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard and down his garment and dripped off. The Bible said, how pleasant when brethren dwell together in unity. It's the Spirit of God. It's not the spirit of unity. It's the unity of the Spirit. We've got to be bound together by that kindred Spirit of God. Let's stand. I love you. Boy, I hope I helped you tonight. How many is hungry for the Spirit? How many is hungry for a move of the Spirit on your life? We felt it, didn't we? How many felt it Wednesday night? I mean, the Lord was in here. And he was here a few nights before. He's here tonight. He is. I want us to come, and here's what I want you to do. Amen. I think sometimes we take it for granted. We forget what the Lord has done for us. But we need to be cautious that we don't grieve and quench the Spirit of God. And you say, amen? Won't you come? I love you. Come on, let's pray. Let's